When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation with Daniel Jackson about his book, The New Beginning, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium. It's also something, it sounds like, has come onto you. Like when you wrote the book, if there was 15 and now it's progressed to so many more, it doesn't bombard you all at once. It's happened gradually, more have come in. So maybe that would make it easier to process.
Well, yeah.
Still would be a lot. 68. Even if I had 68 of my friends lined up, I'd be like, that's a lot.
Right. Yeah. And the way that they are touching me, they just actually showed the way that I know the way they're touching me. I feel it. But I have praying mantises who are touching me. So their little arms and tentacle things are touching me, little antennas and all that. But it's the way that they're touching me. So they just showed me that maybe about 8 months ago. Cause I said, hey, can you show me how you do it? And then I closed my eyes. They said, close your eyes. And I did. And then they showed me a picture. Cause when I would meditate, I would see messages within cartoon form or like movie form, or they would just show me pictures. But now I don't even have to meditate. I just close my eyes and it's already there. It's already playing. So I closed my eyes and I saw a praying mantis up against my back. They showed me and then a praying mantis and up against my back. And then his arms are coming around and touching me on the face. Because they're in spirit, if another one comes through and touches me, so they just go right through each other, and they're just doing this in the same position, touching me. But sometimes I get touched by four or five or six of them at the same time. So they're just morphing right through each other and going through each other. But it happens, you know, that fast. So,
and when all of this starts happening to you, I think for me, I would have two questions. And one would be, why me? And what do I do with this? You know, I'm all this is coming to me now. What do I do with it?
When you pass away, you will wake up out of your body. You'll stand up. You'll look down. You'll see your body. You'll go, I don't need that anymore. You'll take a step to the left. You'll look to the right, and you'll see a light turn on, and everybody gets a light.
Because we've heard so many stories from people who've said, you know, they see this light.
Yeah, you see it, and that's your personal light. Everybody gets a personal light. It's for you. And then you either walk in or you don't. And if you walk in, great. And if you don't, you just walk around here earthbound, or this low energy realm is really what it is. Because not everything that I see there is from Earth. I see lots of other beings from other places, and some of them I can describe and most of them I just can't. That's your personal light. But there's always one other light that shines all the time. And this is for all the energies who have not crossed over. And so they can see it. So they know where to go, because they can cross over anytime they want to. They just have to want to do it. And sometimes they don't always know that they can. So if they get near the light and they see it, then the light being is actually a soul with inside of a body. But so you would leave here and go home or walk around as an earthbound spirit. This soul does not go home. If you have to come back again into another body, you would come from heaven and come back into another body. This one doesn't. When the body it's in expires, then another one is automatically born, and it just goes into that one and goes into, and then walks around in that life until the next one, the next incarnation has to keep happening, and it just goes over and over and over again. So that soul, so when people say, oh, I'm an old soul, This soul is the oldest soul. It's been here the longest since the beginning of time. Apparently, God asked his archangels, he needed a volunteer to step up and come here and be the light. So this light originally incarnated was a archangel. So he came here and he's now living a human experience and doing a human thing with everybody else. But he's here specifically to be that light to shine all the time. So spirit can all see it, but they can also hear it. So when people are walking around and talking, it becomes like static after a while. Like when we were kids watching TV and all that snow on the TV, it was static. So spirit can hear that and it becomes too much. They can tune it out. They are pure energy. They can tune that out. This particular one, they cannot tune it out. So whenever it's talking, humming, singing, do whatever it's doing, coughing, whatever, they can hear it. So why? So they can hear it to go towards it, to know where to go, and then see it to know where to go. And then if they can either cross over, or if they're unsure about it, they can talk to it and it can get answers for them to show them and how to cross over. And that soul was me. That's why I'm having all the experiences I have and see them all the time, and they're around me all the time, because they didn't just think I am the light into heaven. I am the light into heaven.
Now, do you think—
since the beginning.
I'm sorry, that was going to be my question, because, you know, I've heard of and read reincarnation, that each life builds on another life, and you— if you don't learn the proper lessons, you go back until you learn it. And
No.
Yes,
you have to relearn lessons, but that's not why you actually come back. You come back because you haven't fulfilled your purpose enough.
There you go. Stated much better. Yes.
Yeah, your purpose is not to become a doctor or a lawyer or anything like that. That is a occupational choice.
I think more life's lessons, like learning to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're still learning everything you do in your life is a lesson. Everything. It's not a good lesson or a bad lesson. It's just a lesson. And you do have to go through them. And maybe you didn't do them quite so well the last time. So you have to kind of repeat it, but in a different fashion, in a different way. Maybe like you were a child and your dad was a piece of crap to you. Maybe you both have to come back and he's going to be the child and you're going to be the dad. And hopefully you get it right this time, that type of thing. And you don't treat him poorly. So, and then he learns from it as well. But if he doesn't learn from it, maybe he has to come back again, and maybe you don't, you know. That all depends upon, again, fulfilling your purpose. And our purpose is, we're here to help each other just for the sake of helping, not because you can, but because you should. In a way where you're going to help someone to do something they cannot do for themselves, or you're helping them to figure it out, or you're doing another thing, like another helping them to do something they can't do themselves. Like if you're driving down the street and you see a cat in the middle of the road, and you go, oh, let me go get that cat and let me try to find its owner or help it or maybe get it to a vet. Or you go, I'm late for work. Forget that cat. I ain't going to do nothing. If you're late for work, get up earlier. You know, so it's pretty simple. But we're here to help each other, and we're not doing a very good job. I mean, we're pointing missiles at each other all the time and going to war and just doing all sorts of bad stuff. And we walk around thinking, you need 6 cars and 7 houses and 10 boats and that type of mentality. But we do that because the world has taught us that. The narrative teaches us that, you know. So it's you know, there's that saying, it says, God bless you. Well, he did. He put you here. He wants us to figure out the rest. And we're just not figuring out very well.
And you did write in the book, the many lessons I've learned are listed below and not in any specific order. And there's 10. And I read those and I'm like, golly, those are so true. Every single one of them, you know, from like, you cannot help everyone, as not everyone either wants to be helped or is willing to allow themselves to be helped. And that's so true.
Do you mean chapter 12?
Is that chapter 12? I'm not sure which chapter I'm on.
There's actually like 25 messages there.
Well, and there's something at the very end of the book as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this was like, always be honest and truthful, although not everyone can handle the truth. It is still the truth.
If you read the whole chapter, is full of those. So there's actually 25 of them. So, and the chapter 12 is called The Basics. So there's a little title there, and then there's some of them have a paragraph. And these were all messages that were channeled to me while I was when I was writing the book. The funny part about it was, when I submitted everything to the editor, for the book, she sent those back because she said they didn't need to be edited because everything else needed to be edited. My grammar is horrible. But those didn't need to be edited. And she said, how come? I said, because they didn't come from me. They came from a perfect place. I just wrote down what they told me to write down. So it comes from God.
And there's a whole nother section here that is separate from those 10 things, but it's also very profound, like let it go. Like,
what does God want from me? That type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the very...
That's all for him.
The give thanks. I think so, yes. True. Like I try to, at night when I go to bed, you know, remember to be grateful. And
yes,
think of the things that have happened.
Right. Praying is not for asking for more than you're supposed to have. Praying is for giving thanks for what you do have.
I thought, so the very end of the book, I was surprised about it. I don't know why I didn't see all that coming. I should have, but I was really moved by it.
Were you surprised by the last page? Because it didn't say the end.
Because how could it be the end?
What did it say?
I'm looking to the last page. I've got it here.
The last page said 2332.
Right.
That's the end.
So the year?
Yes.
Because it says faith, love, hope, 2332.
Right, but it has a double meaning. So the 2332 is the end, but it's also the title of the book, The New Beginning. So,
okay.
In other words, when we leave here, we will start on a new place. So if you take 2332, if you take the 23 and you add it together, 2 plus 3 makes 5. And then you take the 32 and add it together, that makes 5. And you put 5 and 5 together, you get 10, and you turn it around. What's it make? 0, 1.
Mm-hmm.
So when this place comes to an end, I'm not a mathematician. I don't know anything about numerology or anything like that. I mean, numerology is basically bullshit anyway. But because people created numbers. So, so when this place comes to an end, and a new world will begin, and that'll be called New Earth. And we will wake up there and hopefully get it right then, because we're not getting it right now.
I don't feel like we are right now at all.
No.
I don't. I am very uneasy about a lot of things in the world right now.
Yeah, my job here, your second question is, what do I do with all this? I'm here to help everybody. I'm here to wake them up. I'm here to get them to understand what they should and should not be doing in their lives, like the 6 cars and 7 houses and 10 boats, and get away from all the drama and all the egotistical bullcrap and the hate and the anger and the sorrow and the grief, guilt and the pain and all that stuff. I'm here to clear that out from everybody to get back to a simpler way of life before this place does come to an end.
And
that's my job.
You do use your abilities and you do work with people and do... I don't know exactly what the word would be.
I do a reading. I do readings for
readings.
People. I'm doing readings next week in Tucson. I do this show up there, the Psychic Healing Fair. And I do readings there. And people sit in front of me. And when they sit in front of me, I tell them, I start off and I say, I can only tell the truth one way. I can't tell it 50 ways until one way suits you. Meaning if you ask me a question and I get you the answer, that's the answer. If you don't like the answer because you don't like the truth, that's not my problem.
Right.
I communicate with archangels. They are not men with wings and shields and swords. They are here to help us. But regular people do not have angels with you. You don't have angels with you because you don't need an angel to go to a cup of freaking coffee. And you don't have a guardian angel walking around guarding you from everything, because if you did, what would you learn? So you don't have an angel with you. Now, here's what I want you to do next. I want you to hold out my hand, and I hold out my hand. I said, now hold my hand, and they hold, and I go, no, hold it like you mean it, and they hold it, and give me the kung fu grip. And then when I close my eyes, and then from that point, I see a lot of spirit animals or something else that spirit wants to show me, and they show it to me. The spirit animals usually act out for me what that person is doing in their life at that moment, and then I explain it to them, and then once I explain it to them and I open my eyes, 9 times out of 10, they're crying. Because I'm fucking right, because they're doing stupid shit in their lives. And then I tell them how to fix it. I let them ask me questions, and then I get answers for them.
What I think is interesting about what you do, because a lot of times it feels to me like people go see a medium because they want to connect with someone who's passed. They're dealing with grief, and it's hard to say goodbye. It's impossibly hard to say goodbye,
well, it is, but I tell them again, there's 2 rules in this world. As long as you comprehend the rules and you follow the rules, you'll appreciate everyone's life around you and yours as well. And rule number 1 is people die every day. And rule number two is you can't change rule number one. When it's your time to go, it just is.
Right.
Everybody just dies. Let it go. They are not meant to be here anymore. You are. And you are not to sit around and mope around for the next 20 years about them no longer being here. Because I guarantee if you do, you're coming back. I guarantee it. I don't make the rules. I just explain them. I'm very blunt when I do a reading with people. Very blunt. I had a lady come to me a couple of months ago. And she said, I want to have grandchildren with my daughter. And I said, you're not going to have grandchildren. She said, but I want to have grandchildren. I said, I know you do, but I'm telling you, you're not going to have them. And I said, do you want me to give you the long answer or the short answer? She goes, well, I want the long answer. I said, okay, the reason you're not going to have them is because those souls are not meant to come through your daughter's body. Now, she didn't even say anything about daughter or son. I just said that. I said, they're not meant to come through your daughter's body. So in other words, they are not meant to be born, meaning you will not have grandchildren. But here's the short answer. Your daughter is going through some stuff right now. She's in a lot of pain. She has some crazy diseases that they can't even diagnose for her. And it causes her a lot of pain. And for her to even try to have children would cause her so much pain. Yet the only reason you want it to happen is because you want your grandchildren. Said, and you're willing to cause your daughter a lot of pain because you know the things that are going on with her daughter. Yet your selfishness doesn't give a shit about your daughter. You just want to have grandchildren. And I'm telling you, it's going to screw your daughter up so bad because she's already so screwed up. You're not going to have kids anyway, because all that's going to happen is she's going to have some stillborn children, and that's it. And then you're going to screw up her body even more. I said, what you need to do is you need to enjoy the time with your daughter that you have, because your daughter's checking out soon.
Oh.
She's leaving soon. And she's like, what? I said, she's leaving soon. She's got 8 years left in this world. She's leaving soon. So instead of hounding her about grandchildren, I want you to enjoy the time that you're having with her. And she said, I said, here's what I want you to do. Can I curse on this show?
Absolutely.
Okay. I said to her, here's what I want you to do for the time that you're with your daughter. The next time that you have this feeling that you want to your daughter to have children and you want to talk to her about it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to shut your fucking mouth. And I want you to leave her alone and stop bothering her about it. You're not going to have them. And why would you want to cause that kind of pain on your daughter? So by the end of the reading, she was okay. Then this girl come up to me and she sat down and she said, I said, same thing. And I said, hold my hand. And then when I held her hand, I was like, whoa. She's like, what? I said, I see a white horse standing here and a bunch of angels standing next to it, petting the horse. Oh, I said, they're caressing the horse, consoling the horse, because the horse is going to die soon. And she said, what's that supposed to mean? I said, you're dying soon.
Oh.
I said, you're checking out of here. I said, you have all kinds of diseases and problems? And she said, I do. I said, it's really bad. I said, they can't even diagnose you. She said, yeah, I got this kind of crazy disease where I bumped into a table and it broke my leg. And I was like, ooh, I said, yeah. I said, you're checking out soon. So, I mean, she said, can you tell me when? I said, yeah, you have 8 years. And she's like, oh, my God, thank you. She says, I'm so ready to get out of here. I'm so tired of this world. And I said, yeah, I said, that's okay. You're going to go back to your regular life because you had something to accomplish here. You'll be out of here in 8 years. And she said, oh, my God. She said, now I just wish my mother would leave me alone. I said, oh.
I just talked to her.
Is that your mom back there? She said, yeah. I said, yeah, I just talked to her. She bugged you about being pregnant? She said, yeah. I said, don't worry. She won't bother you anymore because I told her to shut the fuck up. And she's like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Thank you. But, yeah, she was checking out in 8 years.
Wow.
Now, when I get that kind of reading, I tell them. I absolutely tell them everything because these are the things that they need to know. I tell them, I get answers for people because I always tell them, you may not get the reading that you want, but you will get the reading that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's information that they absolutely need, so I give it to them. I'm not the rainbows and unicorns medium and everything is love and light bullshit because that's a bunch of bullshit. And I don't go for that. I don't go along to get along with all the other ones. I don't listen to other mediums. I don't follow other mediums. I don't even read books. Everything that I have and everything that I know comes from archangels. It comes from God. So I don't bother with that stuff. But I also don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't have any tattoos. Don't even do any CBD. I can't. They tell me not to. In order to get clear messages, I must be clear in everything. So that's why I get what I get. But the reason I get what I get is because, like I said, God asked his archangels to stand up and one of them make a decision to move forward. That was me. I'm the only one here, living, breathing, walking, talking, archangel. There's nobody else. There's nobody else who has my connection.
I was going to ask about that. Are there other people who are kind of beacons like that?
There are other people who are beacons who can cross spirit over, but they're not the light into heaven. There's nobody else. I'm alone in this.
And when
I don't even try to explain it to too many people, because even when I tell other mediums about what I have going on and they tell me what they got going on, they look at me like a deer in headlights because they don't experience what I do. I don't just see, I see all the horrible energies all the time. I've had them tell me all the time, oh, I don't even see that. I say, yeah, because you're not me, because you're not the light, because they're attracted to the light. Everything comes to me. Everything good and bad comes to me. And I see some horrible things, and they're doing horrible things, and I see it. But in order to get the information I do, I have to be completely open to everything. I have to be able to experience everything. They sent me in the meditation one time. My archangel sent me there, and I call them my archangels because they're my brothers, so, and my sister. They sent me into the, they wanted me to go into the deeper, darker realm of the Earth's round realm, because there is, it's not hell. Because there's no such place as hell. There's no such place as no such thing as a Satan. There is a Lucifer. He's an archangel, and he's one of my guides, and I see him a lot. If anybody ever sees the angel numbers 1111, that's Lucifer. He's not the devil. Let it go. So they sent me into this place in the meditation, and I went in. I just kind of like walked in, and I was like, whoa, this is weird. I'm there. And it was very dark, and I saw these things in there. The only thing I could equate them to is they look like monsters. Mm. Now, I don't know if they are monsters, but because it might just be that's what they look like where they come from. But these things were freaking monsters. These things. I walked in, and they said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here to cross some spirit over. And they said, we don't want you here, Daniel. And I was like, and they knew my name. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, well, I'm not leaving. I said, God sent me here. We don't want to talk about him. Fuck him. We don't want to talk about him. And I said, well, I'm not talking about it. I'm just telling you what I'm doing here. I said, I'm going to cross some spirit. We want you to get out of here. I said, you can want me all you want to get out of here, but I don't work for you. I work for him. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I saw this couple of them standing there, and one of them had like a small one there, and it was hiding behind its leg, like holding onto its leg like a child would do, and peek out and looking at me. I said, hello. And he's, don't talk to my child. And so, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And I had to do that for a week. So I went in every night and did that. And the reason they did that is because not for me to actually cross spirit over. They wanted me to be able to deal with these negative energies, because if I can deal with them, people are nothing.
Do you ever have a time where it kind of shuts down? Because, no. You know, after this conversation, I'm like, do you ever just get to watch a football game or something and enjoy it?
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, I can still do that, but it doesn't turn off. I mean, yeah. I still see spirit walking around. If you're at home, and in the room you are, what color are your walls?
My walls are a light beige.
Oh, okay. To me, that would be light beige and blue.
Okay.
I see a mist of blue in everything. I'm looking at your picture on the screen right here, and I see a mist of blue in that. Mm-hmm. But I see a mist of blue in everything that I look at. Everything that I look at has a mist of blue in. That's the veil. It never turns off. It never goes away. So it's when if I concentrate on the veil, then I'll start seeing faces and other things. Like right now, I see a dog standing in front of me. It's a German Shepherd. And next to it is like a collie. And there's a Labrador Retriever sitting there. It's that. But it's also they just walk through my room, or they walk around the house, or they appear in front of me, or I see a light orb going past me, or a person goes past me, or whatever. So, yeah, it never turns off. I've learned to navigate through life, because so much all the time. I have to navigate through everything.
And when you just mentioned you saw the dogs in front of you, are they there to, they're drawn to you?
Some of them are drawn to me and I cross them over. I have a lot of animals around me because I apparently have had a lot of pets throughout all my thousands and thousands of lives.
Okay.
So they're all here waiting for me to, because they all know that I'm leaving this time and I get to go home this time. This is my last time. So they're waiting for me.
You know, one thing I read in the book that I felt grateful for you for was meeting your current wife. It sounds that was all just meant to be. And to find someone who understands you is hard enough in this world. I'm a single woman and it is really hard. But, you know, to meet someone who could understand what you're going through and help you navigate and be your partner, I was very touched by that.
She understands it, but there are times that it is hard for her.
I bet. Yeah.
There was a time when we got some new computers for our podcast and she was having a problem setting them up. Now she does IT work stuff, so she's really good at it, but she was having problems with this computer because these were gaming computers. She wasn't used to that. And so I told her, I just said to her, I need you to go on YouTube and look on YouTube and you'll get the answer. And she just looked at me and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, go on YouTube and look, you'll get the answer. And she said, I'm not going to do that. I know how to do this stuff. I said, I know you know how to do this, but I need you to go on YouTube and find the answer. She said, I'm not going to. So we had a little bit of an argument about that. It was about 2 weeks later, two friends of ours came over. They are both in the book. There's a mother and daughter. It's in the book. I don't mention any names, but they came to my house. I said to the mother, I said, can you do me a favor? And she said, what? I said, Terry and I are having an issue with this. I told her to go on the computer and look for these answers about these new computers we got because I need her to do that. And she said, she just looked at me, and because she's a professional medium, she said, oh, I know what's going on here. Okay. She looked at my wife and she said, when he tells you something, it's not coming from him all the way. It's coming from archangels. They are telling you to go on YouTube and get the answers. And you will get the answers. And she looked at me. She said, that's what's going on. I said, oh, yeah. and then my wife said, well, why didn't you explain it that way? And I said, I can't explain it that way. When this started happening to me and when I said yes to everything, I was getting messages about 5% of my day. Now it's 90%. So messages, I'm being touched all the time and messages are coming in and they tell me something. They'll start touching me, alerting me of something and something will come in. But that's 90% of the day. So, but back when this was happening, that was about 60% of my day and 60% of me. At that time, I was only 40% me. Right now, I'm only 10% me. So when I was asking her to do this, I'm not asking her. I'm telling her because they are telling her to do it. It just comes through me now that way. And she was like, well, why didn't you explain it to me? I said, I can't explain it to you because I'm more them now than I am me. So the part of me that would be able to talk to you about it in that way, like a human would, is fading. I said, so I just can't get the words out sometimes, so they just take over. Well, that was 60%. You know, that was 2.5 years ago. It's 90% now. So, I mean, my wife and I were actually, when I went from 80 to 85%, my wife and I were, you know, fooling around. And when that was going on, I went into a state where I thought I was having a stroke. And I just couldn't move. I was stuck. And she's like, oh my God. I said, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. And then boom, calmness. And I was like, oh, she said, what? I said, I'm no longer 80%. So yeah. So when those types of things happen, yeah, it's that kind of energy that comes through. Then when it changed over to 90%, I was in my room because spirit talked to me all the time. Regular spirit talked to me all the time, but that's not who I get my information from. And I hear voices all the time. I actually record them on my phone. I'll say, this spirit said this to me, and that one said that to me. And that's going to be in a new book I got coming out. And one of the voices came through and said, be quiet and listen. you are now in upper management. And I said, what? And the voice came through again and said, I said, be quiet and listen. You are now in upper management. And I was like, oh, okay. And then that was it. I mean, later I asked, I said, was that an archangel telling me? Yes. So I'm in upper management.
Do you think, looking back on everything, you ever had a choice in any of this? Was it going to happen anyway, or at some point did you have a choice?
No, I had a choice. After I said yes, and then I started in with this group, and then the channeling started happening, they would come through. Because that first year of doing it, again, I was like freaking out the whole time. I'd go back to the group and say, hey, this one happened, and this just happened. Because we'd meet once or twice a month, and I'd say, this is what's going on, this is what's going on. And they would help me to figure it out and all that stuff. So when we were doing the channeling, every time an archangel came through, they'd say, Daniel, you have a choice. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. And I would always tell them, but I have to. You know I have to. I just feel it inside of me. This is what I was always meant to do. I have to do this. I said, you know I have to do this, right? And then they would go, yeah, we know. And then they would laugh. A voice would come through and laugh. And I was like, you're laughing. They said, oh, we're spirit, but we love a good joke. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, then after a while, they stopped telling me you have a choice now. It was about two and a half years into it. That's when, God told me once, during the channeling, I didn't know what it was. No one else knew what it was. A couple of them said the same through. You're the light. You're the guiding light. You're the light. And I was like, okay. But I didn't understand what that meant until about 2.5 years into it, when one of my guides came through named Helen, and she said, but you're my guiding light, Daniel. And I was like, what does that mean? And then that's when she told me, you are the light into heaven. And I was like,
wow.
What?
Me?
So that medium was right? And she said, oh, she was right. She said, you are the light into heaven. And then they explained everything to me. And I was like, oh, okay. And they said, you don't have control over it. It just happens. And I don't. I see them sometimes. I'll be staring off into space and I'll see a cloud that's go poof and pass through me or something like that. It's when I realized what was going on and the other part was going on, then I understood it. Like, I was sitting with my sister in a room and we were talking. It was kind of low lit in there. And then a flash of light went off in the room. And she was like, oh my God, what was that? I was like, oh, that? She said, yeah, it looked like lightning in the room. I said, oh, that's just somebody jumping in. She said, jumping in? What do you mean by that? I said, they're jumping in. She said, oh, you mean they're crossing over? I said, yeah, they're crossing over. She said, they cross over through you? I said, yeah, I'm light into heaven. Why wouldn't they? She was like, wow. And then the rest of the conversation, she kept going, yeah, I saw that, you know, I saw that. I said, I see that too all the time. How do you get used to that? I said, yeah, like when we're kids and our mom and dad feed us green beans. And then 30 years later, you like green beans. Why? You get used to it. You just do. You either get used to it or you don't. You either get used to your life with anybody or you don't, you know? So you're either going to accept yourself or you're not going to accept yourself. I just learned to accept it.
Is it exhausting sometimes, like physically?
Yes. Yeah, well, like when I do the readings, last time I was there, I did 17 readings in a row.
Oh, that would be a lot.
Yeah, I did 21 the time before that. And yeah, but I'm always the busiest table there because, you know, I tell the truth. People who tell the truth are busy. I'm the shizzle fucking dizzle. I just am. I'm not bragging about it or anything. I just know I'm that good.
That made me laugh the way you said that.
I know everybody else in the room doesn't have what I do. I just know they don't. And everyone else who comes to see me knows that. They walk in and they walk up and they say, I'm just drawn to you. I'm drawn to you. I just heard you on a podcast. Everything you say resonates with me. I heard you last week. And the last time I was there, some girl heard me the week before. And she said, I looked you up and saw that you were going to be here. So I traveled a couple hours to come here. I said, awesome. And she waited 2 or 3 hours to get a reading with me. They sit there in chairs and wait for 2 or 3 hours to get a reading with me. And they want that kind of answer. I said, if you want to go talk to somebody about your stupid soulmate bullshit, because your soulmate's not necessarily someone you're going to fall in love with. It could be a dog or a cat or your mom and dad or your best friend. I said, if you want somebody like that, Now, you go down here to this person over there. You want somebody who's going to tell you the fucking truth because you need it? Then you come and talk to me because I'll get it for you. And if you don't like the truth, go to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people come to me because they want an answer from God. And I get the answer. But they don't always like the answer because they just don't like the truth. But I give it to them because they need it.
And that wraps up part two of our three-part conversation with Daniel Jackson about his book, The New Beginning, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium, available on Amazon. For more information on Daniel, visit his website at spiritmediumdaniel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial-free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.